Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Des Bishop Podcast. On this incredibly unique day, first in my career, having had to cancel a month of shows because of a pandemic, we have a great episode coming up. I don't want to say too much because myself, Stephen Mullen, and comedian Eve Darcy chat about, among other things, the coronavirus and the reaction to today's announcement that a lot of stuff is getting canceled, not just my shows, you know, as we try to control the spread of COVID-19. We talk about a few other things too. Harvey Weinstein and a little bit of a sort of a follow-on about the guilt discussion that we had yesterday. And also a little bit about Eve's podcast, which you'll be finding out about in the episode. Very interesting. But first, I just want to say thanks to everybody for their understanding on me canceling my shows. I hate doing that, but I wanted to do it for 2 days. It was really frustrating me that the venues wanted to wait for the government, but all's well that ends well. Leo Varadkar made the announcement around midday today, and well, it helped me to make the announcement. I didn't want to put people at risk, you know. So thanks for people messaging me today saying they understand, and we're going to reschedule, you know. So I hope that any of you that were coming to the show will still come and see it, because, you know, it's weird for me because this is actually the second March in a row that I've had to cancel shows, which is not a thing I've done much in my life. You know, I canceled shows when my dad died. I canceled shows when my mom died. And I canceled one show once in Newbridge for bad snowstorm. And that's it. So this is a rare thing, you know? Momentous moment in time. And even though we've been paying attention to this pandemic for weeks, today it just really hit home. Fucking hell. This is one of those moments in history that you'll never forget, when a virus caused everybody to alter their lives. I mean, minimum altering for me. I cancel some shows, I make them up. But, you know, even I got in a taxi tonight, and the taxi driver asked me if I knew if Copperface Jack's was closed tonight. And I Googled it, and yeah, Copperface Jack's is closed till the 29th of March. And I felt bad for that guy, because I thought, who the fuck is this guy going to pick up? Nobody's going to be going out. And as much as it's affecting me, 4 weeks of work gone, I'll make it up. But, you know, he can't, like, I can reschedule shows, so I'm still gonna get that, the money that I would have made from those shows sometime in the future, whereas it'll take time for him to, you know, there's not gonna be a big surge of extra money coming to the taxi driver's life when this ban is taken off. He just has to fucking eat it, you know? It's tough. It's tough on a lot of people, you know? And, like, people that are just retired, their pensions are taking a massive whack. It's the stock market crashes. You know, it's a lot. So I hope everybody appreciates that. I know that we talk about it on the episode, but people panic buy and all this other selfish shit. It's unfortunate, really, because in truth, this is this is not about survival, because we're not in, our survival is not under threat. What's under threat is, you know, we're trying to lessen the damage that can be caused by this virus. But it's funny how people immediately go into that selfish mode. It makes me realize that shows like The Walking Dead, I think I've mentioned this before, shows like The Walking Dead, you know, you always think that human behavior is exaggerated on those shows, but I'm starting to think why watching people fucking rush to get their stuff, that humans can be quite selfish. I hope when things calm down over the next 2 days and people realize that for the next few weeks, life's going to get real quiet, that they reach out and help each other to get through this in the best possible way. I'll be trying to think of ways to help. I don't, you know, the thing is that because you don't want unnecessary human interaction, you want to find a way to help without actually making the problem worse. So I'll have to think about that. I think about old people, you know. You know, old people are the most at risk, but also the most risk for being lonely. And alone. And I'd like to figure out a way to help that. Just assuming that their interactions with people is going to lessen. I'm assuming that there's going to be less visits from, the people that support them. But in saying that, if I can go visit them, then anybody else can go visit them. And that's the whole point. We're trying to limit interaction, you know, stopping the spread of the disease. So it's a shitty scenario, really. But as Christo Stefano says, it is what it is. And coming up in the episode, we have a bit of crack about it. And I hope you all enjoy it. And I hope you all keep positive. Great episode coming up. Eve Darcy and Stephen Mullen. I'll talk to you after the ep.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Des Bishop Podcast. We got to rename it, Steve.
Yes.
This is, by the way, this is our first multi-camera. This is our first multi-camera podcast.
Exciting.
But you know, first and foremost, this is an audio experience.
Absolutely.
So let's not overly focus on the cameras, you know, in my opinion. So we have Eve Darcy with us today.
Yes. Hi.
Woo.
Woo.
How would we describe comedian Eve Darcy?
Comedian. Yep. Podcaster.
Podcast, yeah. What's your podcast?
Humans Discuss Being.
Humans Discuss Being.
Yes.
Oh,
it's like a therapy session, isn't it, Steve?
It is.
He was the first guest.
Oh, he was on it.
He was the very first guest a year ago, almost a year ago.
Wow! Congratulations! Yeah,
Thank you.
Keep it going for a year.
That's so incredible. Let's talk about the insanity of the last couple of days, because
sure.
I feel like that's on everybody's mind. But perhaps later on, can we come back to discussing what your goals are for that podcast? Because it's very, very interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
But first and foremost, can we just say that the coronavirus has affected all of our lives now?
It's the new Brexit.
I think this feels more like 9/11.
It's bigger. Yeah, yeah. It's bigger than both, I think. Like today has been...
Well, it's not... It's just, let me correct you there before you get strung up by Americans. It is not bigger than 9/11.
Nothing
well, worldwide
is.
Effect, yeah,
nothing,
yeah, nothing is.
Is.
Well, worldwide wise, like NBA's shut down.
Yeah, yeah.
Very sad.
Football, it's going to get shut down completely. It's interesting how like some thing has, like, the whole world is suffering with this one thing all of a sudden. And it's really hit us as a whole country today. It's quite fascinating. It's quite like, oh, shit, everyone's getting shut down. Everyone's going, yeah. Everyone's feeling like, man, we shouldn't really be going outside. You know, it's crazy. Yeah.
Well, nowadays.
Yeah, it feels... It's weird because it's much better when you're in school. Like if
so
I was
true.
If
so
I
true.
Was a school student right now, I would be like, oh, I wouldn't believe. I just it's just the best feeling ever.
Yeah,
you know, like a never ending snow day.
Yes,
you know, and I had to I've had to cancel a lot of shows now, right? So suddenly I'm now on a unwanted 4 week holiday, right? Yeah. Even though I can't really do anything.
That's the thing, you can't go anywhere.
And I'd like to go skiing, but I feel like of all the things to do, skiing seems like the most irresponsible because it was all skiers that brought the bloody disease back. Not to mention that I just had a video do quite well online, which was me joking about the fact that it was skiers that brought it back.
Was it skiers?
Well,
the Italy thing.
A lot of the people, in fairness, it's nothing to do with skiing. It just so happens that a lot of the people that brought it back to Ireland had been skiing.
Okay.
There was a lot of ski trips in northern Italy that brought the virus back.
Right, okay.
So.
School trips, wasn't it? Yeah.
A lot of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and the doctor guy was a ski trip, you know, the one that went to, that went to work. So it's not, it doesn't feel like a, well, listen, let's not even pretend that it matters. You know, it is a weird feeling.
Oh, it's totally
it's
weird.
Really weird.
It's the last thing I remember feeling like this was a teacher strikes when I was in secondary school, and that was it. And that was like a big deal in our world at the time, because it was also a never end. You didn't know when they're going to come back or how long it was going to take and stuff like that. But this is next level. Like, it's like we're on shutdown for at least 2 weeks, at least.
At least two. No, we're on shutdown for at least three. March
29th. Was it
29th, yeah.
March 29th, man. And to be honest, I've canceled 4 weeks because the project Art Center don't think there's any point. Because I said, hey, let's give people from week one the chance to book in week two if they wanted. You know, because there was like Monday, Tuesday, there was some spots or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but they were like, nah, we want to cancel both weeks because we just think there's way more chance that it's going to get extended than not.
Yeah.
So why have somebody emailed again being sorry, actually, your rescheduled date is now no longer an option.
Yeah.
So I'm out of action until at least the after the first week of April.
So what are you going to do with your time?
Well, I'm going to do a lot of content, to be honest with you. I'm going to get really good at Final Cut Pro. I really need to go back to New York. Like, I just have, like... You see, Aiden was supposed to move back to New York, and he decided not to. So I did not organize the admin of being away for 4 months.
Okay.
In terms of, like, my bills, you know, some checks that came in, stuff to do at my mom's apartment, just a lot of admin. And so I really need to go back to New York, and now I definitely have time to go back to New York. But I feel like that's a risk.
Yeah.
Because I might get stuck there.
And, yes.
You know, there are some things that I have scheduled other than my gigs that won't be canceled. Like, I'm doing the It Gals podcast.
Woo! Wow.
I don't want to miss it because you know what's so funny? It's the same time of the year. I was supposed to do the It Gals podcast last year. My mom died. I had to cancel it. And it's taken us a full year to organize it again. And it's like literally to the day.
Jeez. That's incredible.
Yeah, this is the second March in a row I've had to cancel shows. So anyway, long story short, I'm afraid to go. But I do. The flights are so cheap.
Really?
Every cloud. Would it be worse to be stuck here and not be able to go back to America, or be stuck?
Well,
in
no,
America?
Because I'm not meant to be back in the States until I'm not meant to be going back until like April 20th.
Okay.
My last shows are in Nice, April 20th, and then I was supposed to be going back essentially for the summer, but I'm coming back for the cat laughs. So to be stuck here right now is where I'm supposed to be. This is I'm not stuck here. This is where I'm meant to.
Yeah,
be
yeah.
Canceling
yeah.
these shows.
Mm.
You know, so. I guess I'm just going to hang out and do content,
yeah.
you know?
Mm. You'll have a brand new studio for your podcast and everything by the time.
Yeah.
But honestly, I was frustrated, man, because I for 2 days I've been trying to cancel my shows. And I'm not complaining about the venues, but the venues were basically saying, we're not canceling it until the government says we should cancel, which is annoying because then it feels like you're in panic mode.
Yeah. Mm.
But it was clear as day that things were getting worse as far as I was concerned. So I was like, let's get a jump on it.
Mm.
But at the same time, and I still don't know if there would have been any comeback on me if I was the one that pulled the trigger. Like, Christy Moore pulled the trigger this morning before the government thing. And I wanted to pull the trigger too, but I feel like Christy Moore's got a bit more sway.
Kudos. Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah.
Well, you know, yeah, I just feel like Christy can do whatever he wants. Plus, he's an older man. So,
yes.
Like,
yeah.
You know, he can say, I'm doing it for my own health as well as the health of others. I mean, honestly, my main concern, this was my main thing. I was talking to Jason Byrne today about it too, which he said, weirdly enough, he hadn't thought about, which is I didn't want people who bought tickets to feel obligated to go because they didn't want to lose out.
Mm.
And if I didn't cancel the show, then they don't get a refund.
Yeah.
So they would have went against their will or not gone for their own safety and not got a refund. And then I feel like that's not fair when you're in the middle of like this, I mean, once in a lifetime global pandemic. I mean, we had the swine flu, we had the SARS.
SARS disease, yeah.
We had foot and mouth. I remember foot and mouth affected.
I remember that in school. That was around the same time as the teacher strikes, actually.
Yeah, wipe your feet.
Teacher strikes, and foot and mouth.
The world's going to end. Wipe your feet, we should be grand. You know?
And now it's wash your hands.
Wash your hands. Yeah. Well, it was until today.
What's it now?
Even yesterday, they were still saying wash your hands.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, I felt like it wasn't fair on people. And then I was starting to get messages being like, are you canceling? And I also didn't want to throw the venues under the bus. So I wasn't like, I didn't want to message people back and be like, if I had my way, I'd be canceling. But
yes.
But weirdly enough, I found the majority of people that messaged me were hoping that I didn't cancel.
Ah.
Which surprised me. Mm-hmm. I thought most people were messaging me being like, I hope to God, no, you're not going to go through with the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you know that there's a global pandemic. But I think most people are like, it's only a fucking flu, come on.
Yeah, there's a bit of that going around, all right.
But
yeah.
It is hard to know. It's hard to know what to take seriously, like how panicked to be or not.
Yes.
It really is, because we're like, we just don't know what this is.
Yeah.
Well, here's my thinking on it. I think in reality, for 80% of the population, it's not a huge deal.
Yes.
There was an option to just let this run through society, carnage amongst the elderly and the immunocompromised, and then we just get on with our lives, like some sort of like cull of the weak.
Mm.
Yeah.
And there are some, like possibly certain leaders in the UK that kind of liked that.
Yes.
Do you know that Boris Johnson is quoted as saying in 2007 that his hero is the mayor from Jaws?
Oh.
You know the context of that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
That he's like, it's tourist season, we're not shutting down the beach.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So anyway, I guess that was one way to do it. But my thinking is that even though it's probably not a huge deal for the majority of the population, we don't really know the outcome.
Mm.
And there's no matter how bad this short-term pain is, the markets are tanking, like we will recover economically.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why not try to mitigate against more tragedy? But you know, caution in this situation I think is better, especially because it hasn't gotten better. I mean, Trump tried to play the whole like it's no big deal thing, and that has blown up in his face completely. You know,
meanwhile in Portugal, you hear what's happening in Portugal. They're all obviously, they've taken precautions, they've shut down the schools and all that kind of stuff, said everybody stay at home and all that kind of stuff, and everybody's going, see you at the beach. They're all at the fucking beach.
Yeah, well, like, I guess you can stay a meter and a half away, though, on the beach.
Oh, yeah, but Inez's sister was down at the beach, went for a run, and all her mates like, hey, how are you? We're off for 2 weeks' holidays.
Oh,
like,
kissing
get the
each
fuck
other.
Away from me. She's like, hops in the car and goes home.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that when it's all done, some people will say, why did you not cancel flights from Northern Italy weeks ago? Like, it was insane that they didn't stop this influx
straight away,
of Italians coming in last weekend.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't mean it, like, in a racist way, but just, like, that was insane. Every case was a return from Italy. Why aren't you stopping it?
I thought it was insane that they canceled the game or they postponed the game. And loads of fans were like, well, we bought our tickets, let's go anyway.
Yeah.
That's the
and they let
them
in.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Just like, you know,
I saw some of them around town and I actually found myself getting a bit fucking...
Dude, I was walking out of the Stephen's Green Shopping Center and I saw three of them. Clearly Italian, arrogant, using their hands. So...
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
Oh, you didn't grow up with Italians. So, that's a straight up stereotype about Italians.
Yeah, yeah,
but they're white. So it's not racism. It's just what I guess you could say xenophobia.
Xenophobic.
But it's not really xenophobia. It's a cultural ignorance.
True.
Yeah. Except that it's true.
Yeah.
Anyway, long story short, they were throwing their hands around. What are you trying to throw the disease at me?
Yeah.
But anyway, long story short, I did actually take a step to the left, and it annoyed me that I did, because I know it was not the case. I didn't feel it was fair on them.
Yeah.
But I did do that, which is ridiculous.
They must feel, I wonder how they feel though. They must be like,
well, they can't really tell. It's the bloody Chinese you have to worry about, because like people are clearly like, every Asian really, during the initial outbreak, everybody was like, oh, Asian, fucking get wide.
I was even, I was, did you see, I did an Instagram story the other day with Nguyen, I think I was saying right, Nguyen from Vietnam. Have you met this guy? He's a comic who just moved over there in the last few months. But I was doing the gig in Cork, doing Instagram stories, going here with my best pal, my partner, do you know what I mean? And just showed him on the story, do you know what I mean? And everyone sent me messages going, ah, that's gas. He's fucking hanging around with an Asian just for the fucking jokes. I'm like, no, he's a comedian. I drove
Is that
down.
How you pronounce that, NG?
It's NGHAI or something like that.
Oh, right. Yeah. No, because I see that they have a lot of that NG in the Vietnamese.
Right, yeah. But I mean, to be honest with you, Days, I was in the car for 3 hours trying to, and he's like, it's nyeh, and there's a
oh,
yeah,
as
well.
Tone.
And I can't get it. No, I can't get it.
It's like, I know.
Plenty of knowledge.
Chinese.
Plenty of knowledge
on the tonal front.
That. Yeah, so I don't know what else to talk about in terms of the coronavirus, but I mean, it's going to be a strange few weeks. Oh, yeah. I mean, like, it's so weird the things that people think they need to stock up on.
Toilet paper, yeah. I was just going to say that. I was walking down your street here, a woman hopping out of the taxi going, give us a walking hand, will you? And she, like, just reams of toilet paper.
Really?
Yeah.
Of all the items that people thought was essential, I don't know why toilet paper is the one, because I feel like, for me, that's the one. It's like, when push comes to shove, I need food, I need water.
Yeah.
You know? If I need to wipe my ass, I'll just fucking take a shit and have a shower. I don't understand why people think toilet paper is the thing. Now, I guess maybe you're a woman, you always got to wipe your, you got to wipe your fanny. But like, I don't know. I feel like you can just, if you're in a jam.
In
an emergency, you just pick 4 or 5 towels from the house and you just wash them. Wash them 2 or 3 times a day. It's not like a big deal.
Yeah. I have a question. So you were going to a store, right? And it was like, okay, all the shops are going to close. So everyone starts looting. Okay, so you had a chance
like
to
a
loot.
1960.
Oh, would you loot?
What would be the first? What would be the handful of items?
So sorry, is it a supermarket?
It's a supermarket that you're like, go now. It's like supermarket sweep, but you're looting.
But you're looting. But okay, so
and you can get 5 items.
Okay, so let me just get a context for
good
this
question, Eve.
Very good question, Eve. Now, I just want to set the context before I make the decision. Are we assuming that we're looting because the world is in a crisis? So, in other words, like, am I thinking about the fact that I need to survive, or is this just more of a generic any item at all?
We'll take it in the context of like the coronavirus.
Now. Okay,
yeah.
So like right now, okay.
Of the general panic that everyone kind of has or is thinking about having. What would you do if you were like, the supermarket's going to close, loot, go? What would you take?
I mean, of course, I fucking didn't have the fucking video playing.
Recording
with all the recording with all the things going on. But anyway, that's
is that our, one recording that one.
Oh yeah, this one has been recording the whole time. So you guys will have plenty of coverage early on.
Sweet.
Sweet.
That's so annoying. But that's the fucking way of it now with the
that's
technology.
That's fucking life at the moment, isn't it?
Shite. Because I turned it on. I thought I turned it back on, but I guess I didn't. So I've been looking at it the whole time. I don't know how I didn't notice that it wasn't going. So 5 items
you're gonna
in a supermarket.
Mm. Yeah, listeners do this as well.
Oh, 5 items in a supermarket.
I feel like...
Can I ask a question?
Mm.
I'm assuming because you're looting that you don't have to be concerned about not having a plastic bag.
Well, no, you've got 5. You don't have a bag at all. You've got 5 items. You have to be able to carry them.
Okay.
Yeah. Get out.
But
the guards are coming.
You're thinking about this way too much.
I'm not picking a bag for life as one of my items.
Right.
That's
yeah.
All
oh,
I'm
no,
gosh,
no.
I'm not wasting an item on a bag for life.
No, we're all fucked. It's loot. Yeah. Go. Like, just go.
Yeah, but that's an environmental
loot. I can imagine you, right? You'd be just there, like, just well, like trying to get order.
Here's what I'm thinking about.
Everyone's stealing.
I'd have to choose what supermarket first because I'd be checking the little. Magazine before
5 items.
Yeah,
it's a Tesco.
Oh, it's Tesco.
It's a big Tesco.
So I'm going to
but
the
you only 5. Only 5 items. Well,
it's a big Tesco. Yeah,
I feel like popcorn might be a good one.
Okay,
because because you can get fucking loads of it.
Yeah,
or is it only one bag
to carry?
Yeah. But like you'll get a lot of return.
Honestly, I would get the biggest bag of porridge.
Porridge, yeah.
Just as a oats. Survival, you know, yeah. Just in case.
Just eat on their own. Like dry, or would you get milk?
Well, I don't need to get milk. There's water in my tap.
Water,
okay,
yeah, just water.
I'm covered on the moisture front.
Okay, all right. So porridge.
Porridge would be one of mine. I'm gonna think about it. I mean, it's a lot. It's really a lot to think of. There's a lot of items in
three,
here.
Then three, because this is gonna take forever.
Yeah, well, you know,
have you got five already?
You would be terrible at losing, yeah. Guys.
Well, what are yours?
My first one would be the most expensive bottle of champagne for sure.
Oh, yeah, I was gonna go for expensive stuff.
Not on my list.
Yeah.
No alcohol.
Well, I'm considering giving up alcohol, but I think I would still.
But the most expensive bottle of champagne in a Tesco is gonna be a bit of a disappointment.
Yeah, it's gonna be a shitty Moet.
That's true. Yeah. All right. 3 Prosecco.
Nice. Number one.
I mean, I probably would get tampons to just be like,
I was going
to
say that for women. Yeah, yeah. You have to.
Yeah. Interesting that I put champagne before tampons. But
oh, yeah. You'd have to worry about that.
Just in case, because you don't know
how
long.
The cork.
You could use the cork. Yeah. Gross. yes, you could. Okay. So champagne.
I'd probably
tampons.
Get the largest bag of frozen vegetables also.
Mm-hmm. Frozen vegetables. Okay.
Just because it's a lot of nutrition in a bag already. So it's an easy carry and it's going to cover me.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah. Because if you injured yourself, you could use that as an ice pack.
Yeah, I could use it as an ice pack.
Yeah. And a weapon.
You know, and then I guess, I mean, I'd probably get one of those large things of paper towels, knowing that it could cover me for an ass wipe, but also just for the hand washing that's necessary at this current crisis.
That's interesting. The paper towels are still coming up.
Yeah. Steve, what would you?
I've just got popcorn.
You're just on popcorn still.
I probably would. Like, depending on the Tesco, I'd probably go for the most. This is the scumbag in me now. I'd go, like, what's the most valuable? Because some of the Tescos do TVs and
exactly,
shit.
Exactly,
so
they do.
I would nick expense-wise.
Yeah.
Sorry, I've been the whole time visualing my Tesco Metro down here.
No, it's a big,
you
know? Tesco.
And to be honest with you, there's really like a 30% chance that that'll be looted on any given day here in Dalbert's Barn. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And to be honest, yeah, I'd probably go for the tills as well.
Yeah, loot the tills.
Oh, yeah, well, that's different.
Sorry. That's what I'm saying. It's a different mindset. That's the scummer in me.
Honestly, in real terms, I'd probably go for a bag of porridge, the largest bag of nuts.
Nuts is good,
You know, like or like a trail
dried
mix.
Fruits and dried nuts.
Yeah, like one of those big bags.
Yeah.
And my third item, I
well, if you're frozen veg as well, though.
Oh, there you go. Those would be my three.
Very sensible. That's too sensible.
What else am I going to get? I don't drink. What unsensible shit am I going to get? Like a fucking Frosties?
Would you not get condoms?
No, why the fuck would you need condoms? The world's probably going to end. Oh, fuck everybody. Fucking bareback. Fucking all. Fuck that. You know? When you're worried about the coronavirus, you're not worried about chlamydia. What the fuck am I getting condoms for?
So that'll wear off.
For fuck's sake. I'm fucking, it's not a HIV epidemic. If fucking shaking hands is a problem, I'm not going to fucking worry about fucking condoms.
Oh my gosh. Hilarious.
That's great. That's our clip, Eve. Well done.
That's it, yeah. Which I get condoms? Fuck off.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I really do think it's worth saying, still be responsible having sex, even though there's coronavirus, everybody.
Listen,
Don't take Tez's sexual advice.
A message from Eve Darcy, ladies and gentlemen.
First of all, this is a hypothetical scenario.
Yeah.
Number two, I have an entire podcast dedicated to safe sexual practice. Like, anti-slut shame. Like, it couldn't be any more sex positive. But this is a hypothetical situation. Because, by the way, don't loot either. just in terms of things you shouldn't be doing.
Warning. Don't have holy shit.
Don't have unsafe sex and don't be looting either. But if you do loot, I recommend
we've
porridge,
never had to
nuts.
Put a warning on a podcast before, and then Eve Darcy comes in.
I know.
Darcy comes along with a goddamn dangerous hypothetical.
Looting and riding podcast.
So lube then? No? Did you not get...
I don't need to do anal. And I don't think Tesco has lube anyway. Boots, you got to go to Boots for lube.
I'm sure.
And Eve's like, they do.
I don't know.
I just lube. Just fucking, no need. Natural. Get the natural lube going.
Coconut butter.
Oh.
It's great.
Coconut butter for everything?
Yeah, it's for your skin.
Coconut oil.
Coconut oil. My mother was like obsessed with coconut.
Good though.
Yeah, it is, but it's not the end all cure for everything.
No, but it does work as lube.
My mother had and apple cider vinegar. Like,
yes, with
good
the
for
mother.
Stomach.
With the mother.
With the mother in it.
For some reason,
that means. Yeah, whatever. Like the cure all. apple cider vinegar.
Yeah.
Did you see Alan McGee, who used to be the manager of Oasis, and he had Creation Records, which is a big record company in the 90s. He's on Instagram, and that's all he Instagrams about is his bottles of apple cider vinegar.
Really?
But right. Because he did shitloads of drugs back in the day, and he'd been on loads of pills and medication for stomach issues, and apparently apple cider vinegar has done the job.
Really?
Yeah. Apple cider vinegar. My mother thought that too for all the constipation and different stuff.
For constipation?
Yeah.
But did it work?
No, it doesn't do all the things that people say that it does. Mm. You know, it's just another one, you know, another fad of many fads that have come and gone over the years.
Yeah.
What has been your favorite fad?
My favorite fad? The Atkins diet.
Oh, really?
Oh. Yeah.
I love that Carl Spain joke.
What was that?
He talks about the Atkins diet. And what was, so Atkins was all high carbs, low protein, was it?
Or the other way around.
The other way around.
Yeah.
Essentially no carbs.
No
and
carbs.
All meat.
It really began.
Like paleo then.
It began
kind of the
downward slide of the carb.
Yeah.
You know, but
yeah.
this is back when carbs were healthy.
Yes, yeah.
A different time.
So what was the opposite? So what was the high carb one that was healthy then, apparently?
I don't know.
Oh.
But anyway, there was two.
Low fat, high carb, whatever.
There was paleo and Atkins, for example, say that, and Carl's.
Well, paleo is a more recent phenomenon.
Yeah, yeah. But Carl's thing was like, one was high carb, low protein, and one was the opposite. And Carl's is like, they're fucking both uses. I've been doing both of them now, and there's been no fucking change.
Two at the same time.
I think that was on the Liffy Laughs on YouTube.
Yeah, there's been a lot of fads. There's a big one now. Oh, there's one I just noticed recently, and I was just like, wow, it's amazing. People. Oh, kinetic tape.
Oh yeah, somebody put that up today, didn't they? That redheaded TV presenter Angela Scanlon.
Yeah, yeah.
She put up her tape. Yeah.
Kinetic tape, which is just Google it. It's fucking useless.
Yeah.
But people just put it on. They believe in it. The chiropractors will give it to you.
Like, yeah.
Well, isn't this interesting though? It's like what people believe, right? Yeah. Like that's what you know. The placebo effect is like 30%.
Yeah,
effective.
Except that the placebo effect isn't that effective for.
Healing
your muscles.
Right.
Yeah.
What's the placebo effect?
It's like when you just think that it's going to... It's basically your thoughts and your belief.
Right.
And that's... You think that it's going to be helpful, so then...
So it's helpful.
It's helpful. Or in your mind it has been helpful.
Yeah, in your mind it's helpful.
It's like God. You know.
He's real.
Yeah, he's real.
Yeah. So placebo effect, it was like if they do like a trial, half the people get the pill and half the people get the placebo.
Right.
And it's a way to check if the pill is actually working.
Right, okay.
Or is it just the placebo effect?
Right.
But I mean, there's a lot more to it than that, but that is... You never see that term around, the placebo effect?
I have seen around, but I never...
No, you learn something every day.
See, were you just nodding along all this time and not really understanding what you were nodding?
It's okay to ask.
I've just learned.
To not know.
Hey, I've got 3 weeks now to learn shit.
Oh, yeah. What are we going to do with this time?
Well, anyway, I think we've covered the coronavirus pretty well.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, we could continue to go on about it, but I also feel like people are going to be bombarded with this.
That's true.
So let's...
We're moving on.
Well, Eve, let's talk about your podcast, actually. So it's called...
Humans Discuss Being.
Humans Discuss Being.
Mm.
And
that's essentially it. I meet a human. And we discuss how...
You know, there's an NPR show, On Being.
Oh, yeah. Kristen Tidbit or something, isn't it?
Yeah, Krista Tidbit or something. Yeah, I only... It just happens to come on a lot Sunday mornings when I'm in the States driving... Like, I'll be driving early to do something.
Yeah.
And I'll listen to it. And it's like, my initial reaction is always just like, this fucking bullshit again, you know? this week on Being, somebody takes their adversary and turns it into a TED Talk. And I always have this resistance.
Mm.
And then it comes on. And by the end of it, I'm like crying or I'm just like, fuck, yeah, I'm not honest enough about this in my life. You know, it's always good.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So are you hoping to go, like, you just basically get people to just open up about anything?
Yes, and I have a whole process about this. So, Stephen knows
it. Amazing ass.
So I've done like therapist training. So,
oh, so you're trained as a therapist?
I'm trained as a therapist.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
I know this.
Did you not?
No.
Oh, yeah.
God, we've needed you here the last few weeks. How many episodes? How many recent episodes have you listened to? I know you listened to Brian O'Connell, but did you listen to any of Steve's trips down his dysfunction?
Oh, I know all of Steve's.
Okay, brilliant. You came to see my show twice. Yeah, very supportive.
Yeah. I'm a good friend.
You are a good friend. Sorry.
Brilliant. Okay, so sorry, I interrupted there. That's brilliant, actually, that you have that. Because
I find
on these podcasts that for some reason they help people to open up. So it's actually good to maybe know what to say or what not to say.
Yeah. I have that actual training, but I also just have a genuine interest in what someone else's experience of life is, and how I'm just constantly amazed at how different we experience life and how different people are and their perceptions and everything. So, but the whole process to the thing, the podcast, it's not just a simple come in here and just have a chat. I make people do a psych test. Highly unscientific. it was a feelings test. I don't know if you did it.
I don't think I did that.
So it's just like you look at a picture and it's all these images and you pick the three that resonate most with you, and that's supposed to reveal how you're actually feeling that day. It's just like a bit of crack. It's not legit.
It's not legit.
No, it's not legit at all.
But was it ever thought that it was going to be legit? Was it somebody's like PhD?
No, I don't think so. No, it's like I bought it in like Vancouver when I lived there. It was like just like in a joke shop game.
Oh, okay. So a bit of crack.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay.
No, that's totally.
So that's part of the process.
Yeah. So that's like the first kind of 3 minutes. And then we do like a fake date game. So we do like pretend we're on like a first date, myself and the guest. And we just ask each other the weirdest first date questions you would ever. You would never date someone that asked you these questions.
Yeah,
ever.
It was from, like, they were just questions from a game, was it?
From a game, yeah. They're from the School of Life website.
Yeah, that's right.
So they're all like...
Oh, so sorry, you give the questions.
We do a rapid-fire thing, so, like, I ask the guest
questions. Oh, so you don't have to think. But what I mean is you don't have to think of the questions.
No, the questions are there. Okay. Yeah, I'm very lazy. I just bought them.
But this is all icebreaker stuff. Yeah.
It's all icebreaker. It's all, the point of it is all, me getting, just developing a relationship and a rapport, the guest and I. And then, so we do that, and then we play Twister. And while we play...
on the podcast?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, a big commitment on your podcast.
It is a big commitment. It's a big commitment.
Especially if you're not that flexible.
Yeah. Twister.
I remember struggling.
Yeah, Steve reckoned I was just doing...
Especially Twister. In the post-Me Too. I feel like I don't know about this.
I did say that.
There's a clip of me when Steve and I were playing Twister. I'm like, I have my hands and feet are like, so I'm down there, and then like Steve's crotch is just right in my face at one point, and I was like, okay, this is...
and I'm like, she invited me.
Yeah, exactly. I'm okay to do this. So we play Twister, and while we play Twister, we're asking each other questions as well. So like, and they're difficult.
And you're recording all this?
Yeah, these are... The first three things that I've just outlined, they're visually recorded. So they're for they're for like promo.
Promo stuff.
Yeah. And then after all of that, we move into like the kind of living room area, and we sit on a couch, and then it's just like the chat about how life is going for them.
Yeah.
But you've learned nothing from the icebreaker though, really, in terms of the chat, or you feel that you have?
I have, in that I can see where someone's at, if they're have a lot of walls up, if they're like not willing, you know, if they're just not in a place where they want to talk much, then that's fine. And I just have a sense of that then going in, you know, to the chat.
That's nice.
All of this was going on.
There's a point to everything that I'm doing.
Okay, yeah. So just out of curiosity, I was going to say, like, is this part of your therapist training, or these are hunches that you have? That'll be effective.
Yeah. And the reason, because I deliberately chose Twister as a game, because you get people out of their heads, because everyone, if you're just asking people questions all the time, and or if, even just having a conversation, people are very aware of their defenses and they have their defense mechanisms up and all that, whereas if you bring someone into their body, they're out of their mind and they're less defensive. So
right,
that's great.
It was interesting, a couple of guests were more honest with the Twister questions than
later on.
Yeah.
Because the defenses go back.
Yeah.
Up. Well, especially when you bring back the awareness to the eternity of recording.
Yeah. Although I'm very clear about like anything can be edited, and I'm not putting anything out that you're uncomfortable with. Yeah.
And so have you found, because obviously I don't want you to, you know, people can listen to the podcast in terms of your chats, but have you found, firstly, that there are some things that tend to come up a lot? Are there things that you seem to find are a recurring theme amongst people?
A recurring theme amongst people is actually, and this really isn't a spoken thing, this is kind of, it's more that people are generally embarrassed about their humanness.
When you say their humanness, you mean
just their flaws and just about being human and about kind of having to deal with things.
Surely it should be part of their humanness, as in humanness is not flaws.
Yeah, but I think people view it as that, you know, and they're kind of like, you know, saying things and they get uncomfortable. Like me too, you know, I'm the same, like even in therapy and stuff, you know, sometimes I find it hard to say certain things. And then I'm just like, I'm just a fucking human, like a friend, you know?
Yeah. But it's funny how different things kick in, the pride or the fear.
Or the ego. Ego is the big thing. Yeah.
Well, I guess the pride is an ego protector, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But also it's shame, I think, as well comes up, you know, that we're pretending we've our shit together. And it's like, no one does. So stop pretending. Just be kind, you know, and just allow the space.
But don't you find even in therapy, though, that the defenses come up?
But that is what therapy is. Yeah. Like that's the job of a therapist.
I don't just mean in terms of people being concerned about how they're perceived by.
No, but that's the job of the therapist, is to be skilled enough to know when to respect a boundary and a defense and then to allow it to break down.
So, so in terms of how much do you think is appropriate for pushing on a podcast?
Not much. Like I tend not to ask that many questions. I tend to be quite quiet and I afford the space to the guest, and whatever they want to say, they can say. There have been loads of times where I've been like, if this was a private conversation, I would ask. In my mind, I've thought that, you know, I'm just like, I'm not going to ask this just in case.
Just in case.
Yeah.
Just in case clam up, or just in case you feel like it's an invasion of privacy.
It's an invasion of privacy, or that they would say something that they would later regret or whatever. And that also I'm kind of like, I'm more, my priority the whole time, like, yes, it's a podcast and it's for, you know, I guess entertainment or whatever, but my priority is like their care, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
But okay, so just another hypothetical. Or certainly you don't have to give specifics, but have you not been in a situation where you thought, this person could have a mini breakthrough here if I stay on this, even though I can tell that they're a little bit uncomfortable? Have you?
And oftentimes they do then.
Or you have picked at it?
Yeah, yeah. Or if I think it's going to be a positive thing. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But if I think it's going to be too painful or.
Oh, right. Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
then
yeah.
I don't, for the sake of the podcast, press
yeah, but
them.
That'll come eventually.
What?
The desire to have that killer ep.
No, no.
Fucking, they really fucking let it out on your podcast. That was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I don't want to do that though.
I'm joking. Yeah. No. But I do think though that you could, sometimes you can have too much fear in the sense that could be good for them.
It could be, yeah. But no, that has happened too, where it has been. And then a few people have cut it. No, yeah, we've just re-recorded another time because they were like,
it was too much
and they were too sad.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And like it was a breakthrough for them and all that, like it was very good, you know, like it was a good conversation for both of us, but they were just kind of like, oh, I don't know about that going out. And I'm like, that is totally fair, we can do that again.
It's interesting.
Oh, you had to do the whole thing again?
Yeah, a couple of times
because you talked about it too much.
Well, they weren't happy with it.
No, they just weren't.
No, I know, but what I mean is you couldn't just edit out that bit.
Yeah, no, it was the whole thing.
It was like
thing.
Too much of the... Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
Mm. It's interesting because I've had both those experiences I've had experiences where it's been... Like when I did your one, when you were asking about Son of a Preacher Man, because that show just brings up so much stuff, I started going to therapy again after, right? But I have had the opposite effect.
Dez didn't hold... Dez fucking just tried to pull it all out.
Dez just fucking...
He had to go to therapy.
It was, but it was... But I have had other experiences where... I think it was just because of the nature of that show in particular. And I was trying to make funny. But then people are... Media-wise, were interested in interviews of going... and digging deeper. And it wasn't a good... Like, the end result for me was I did not feel good after it. Like, you know, it just felt...
Do you feel exposed? Is that how you...
Yeah, and I feel like I felt a little bit like I was kind of a bit of a fake in some ways, because I'm like, it's stuff that's happened a long time ago that I don't deal with necessarily now, but then I'm selling it for a show.
I remember you saying that before.
Well.
Yeah.
What, you feel like a fake because you're talking about it? Like,
sometimes, yeah. And then the kickback can be, because obviously the show is a show, so it's a version of the events. It didn't all happen. Like, I'm condensing in that particular show, well, I'm condensing 20 years of life into an hour, and you're skipping, blah, 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 blah. Obviously, it doesn't happen like that, but you're making it funnier because you're putting all the stresses closer and closer together. The stresses that I had at 5 years of age in the council estate versus when I got kicked out of school or I'm in the psychiatric ward and then having a kid. You know, that's all.
But it's the same thing.
Exactly, it's a performance.
But also... certain things work better in a narrative that's not 100% honest to what happened. But the thing is that the narrative is actually more honest to what happened in terms of how the audience take it in.
Yeah.
You're not able to put the whole thing across. It just doesn't work as a performance.
Of course, yeah. But the thing I have found, like, sometimes media-wise or interview-wise, when certain people in the media have been asking me about it, they're dying for you to say a certain thing about it, or else audience members take a certain thing from it. And they go, oh my God, I was going through X, Y, and Z too. And I'm going, I'm not a fucking psychologist. I don't know how to deal with that.
No, but just let them express it though. You help them.
And that's
you already have helped them. Sorry.
Yeah. That's the beautiful thing though about, because I deliberately didn't want to become a therapist for that reason. I was like, it's too much responsibility. I think I will become a therapist in time. But right now I'm just like, that is not what I want to do. But so that's why I love comedy and all this kind of entertainment world stuff, because I'm in no way responsible for what someone takes out of anything I say or do.
Yes.
You know, really.
Yeah. Exactly. Like that,
and neither are you. You know, if someone comes up and they might tell you their story or whatever, you're in no way responsible for that.
So yeah, I had to get you, because that happened the first night when I opened the show, basically, and somebody came up and was just like, it was quite a lot to take on, and some stuff that they were going through really, really recently. And I was just still, I hadn't even come down from the show. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I hadn't even.
Yes.
And I was like, yeah. And would you help me with this fundraiser for this? And I'm like, yeah, you know. And I was just like, that whole like kickback was awful. But then I learned in the second run of the show when I went to Smock Alley, then people coming up to me and going, oh, I'm a born again Christian and I'm this and I'm that. And I'm like, that's cool for you, man.
Yeah.
Well, you can have your boundaries.
Yeah.
There's the right time to.
Totally.
You figure it out after a while.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, sometimes people are coming up to you, they got all sorts of fucked up shit going on
that
has nothing to do with you.
Totally, exactly. And I learned that,
They might have problems with boundaries themselves, you know, so like, you figure it out after a while what you owe people and what you don't.
Yeah.
And obviously, when you put up boundaries, some people react negatively, but again, it's not your responsibility.
Yeah.
Boundaries are a big thing.
Yeah. Were you there the night that I started making it a public announcement at the start of the show? Were you there when I was going like, this is not a therapy session.
Yeah.
It's a comedy show and I'm going to be making jokes about my mental
health. Oh, right. So were you doing that as a way to get people in the frame of mind of like, don't get uptight?
Don't get uptight. And it's like, I don't have any answers for you and I hope you enjoy the show and this is what I went through and all of that. So that they wouldn't get too uptight about certain bits. It gave you a good start in the comedy, but I don't know if you were there.
Did you find it made a difference?
Yeah. Just like they just got on board straight away. But also, I kind of felt I had to do it because it was in this festival that was a mental health festival.
Mm. Right.
So I had to kind of go set the tone. Mm. But there was that woman one night and I was like, this is a comedy show. Like, it's not therapy, you know, and got people giggling about it. And this one woman in front row went, why can't it be both, you know? And I was just like, I'll tell you why.
Well,
I was like,
ideally, it is both.
Yeah.
But for it to be enjoyed at its utmost peak of entertainment and therapy,
totally,
it needs you guys to go with the comedy. The therapy will happen naturally, but the comedy won't happen if you get uptight.
Exactly. Natural therapy will happen as a result of the comedy.
Yeah, but I mean,
but I'm not a therapist.
I know, but I always find it's a fine line because I sometimes
you must be going through a lot of that right now.
But I mean, it's not the first time either.
Yes, exactly.
I've done it before, but I feel like it's a fine line where. If you announce too much to tell people to lighten it up, it actually tightens them up because then it actually thinks like, oh, fuck, what's coming?
Okay.
You know, but I'm not saying that's what happened with you. But I, you know, once or twice I had said to the crowd, like when I do the first half, say, you know, the second half's a little different, GM up. And I found it had no positive effect. Mm. If anything, it was neutral or negative. So I don't do that in the show. That's also was early on. I feel though a lot of what you're going through, actually, the better you get at doing the show, the less of it is an issue.
Yeah. I find just because I was doing that, as I've mentioned before in your podcast and you've seen, I do quite a lot of in the middle of the show. It gets a bit dark with suicidal stuff and I just joke about it the whole time, but it gets pretty dark. So I kind of felt like I had to put a warning in for that. But I was working with a director for that week of the first Fortnite festival and he pushed me to go there. He's like, that's what first Fortnite
is. The directors
for.
Always do that.
Yeah, they do that. Yeah. And then I'm like, I'm the one who's dying.
Yeah,
out
but
there.
Yeah, but they're not stand up comedians either. You know?
Yeah.
You figure it out for yourself.
Yeah. Totally.
So in terms of being a therapist. Now I'm getting somebody in to talk about what Brian O'Connor was talking about yesterday, but just in relation to guilt, I had mentioned to Brian last week that you know, you're dealing with this guilt of your friend's suicide, but imagine like therapists that just see suicidal people coming in all the time and like some of them die and you know, how they deal with that guilt. Have you had any of that yourself in the...
No.
Oh, that's right. You don't like to mix the comedy and your job either. But that's difficult now because you do a fucking podcast called Humans on Being.
I don't work as a therapist.
Oh,
currently.
You don't work as a therapist?
No.
Oh,
no, okay, yeah. Okay. So that's fine. I don't mind talking about it. No, but I don't. But I guess that is one of the reasons that I don't want to be a therapist yet is because I'm like, oh, I wouldn't know quite how to distance myself from that.
Distance yourself from
stuff.
That.
Yeah.
So but how did you feel when know you listened to that. How did you feel when you were listening to all that stuff about guilt?
It's interesting, you know, but ideally somebody will be able to help you out of that space.
Yes, I would have thought so.
Yes, ideally, because that's not a healthy... But I do think it's a way of trying to gain some sort of control, however unconscious, over a situation that you can't make sense of, you know? Kids do that, you know, when parents divorce or whatever, they think that it's their fault. And
yes.
You know, like it's a similar thing, like victims of... any assault or whatever would do that as well.
They feel like it's their fault.
Yeah.
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 I mean, because I was listening to Catch and Kill, coincidentally enough, Harvey Weinstein put away for 23 years.
Mm. But amazing.
I was listening to Catch and Kill, the podcast. Have you listened to it?
No.
No, I haven't listened.
But it is amazing how many of those women, and a lot of them break down they break down obviously talking about the abuse, but they also break down when they come to the realization that for most of the time they felt that to a certain degree, it was their fault.
Yeah.
They couldn't get it into their head that it wasn't just because they went to the hotel room or whatever. You know, whatever reason they said, I could have dealt with it. You know, you do feel like it's your fault.
And it's because of shame, because they feel shame connected to the whole thing. Yeah. Right.
But also it's in society, like it's in our sort of psyche almost. And it's certainly in what we're saying, you know, like asking for it and, you know, like all that stuff. Like, so it's not...
surprising.
Completely yeah, exactly. That somebody would be like, oh gosh, maybe it was my fault and assume blame when that is not the case, obviously.
It was quite satisfying to watch feeble Harvey, you know, heading, you know, because it's such an act with the walker. I mean, I know he had back surgery.
Excellent prop, yeah.
Excellent. But he's in the perfect position to get rode in prison.
I mean,
you've got leverage and everything. You've got to use that walker.
Totally.
I mean, I would suggest that when you're talking about the fact that a rapist is getting put away for 23 years, that you wouldn't be delighted in his,
I take it back,
his justice that being raped in prison.
I get in road, I said, not necessarily rape, but...
Oh, yeah. But
could be consensual riding.
Consensual, yeah. Just make sure it's consensual,
riding.
Harvey.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was quite a big... So, I mean, I hadn't intended to talk about it much, but just because you were mentioning it about the guilt. I mean, it's pretty serious sentence.
It is. It's excellent, though. Like, it's such a good message, I think.
Yeah, but his, I mean, God, when you listen to Catch and Kill, it's just like, fuck me, this guy was relentless. And when you listen to that audio of, you know, Amber Gutierrez, just the way that he was put, ugh. He really was disgusting.
What's it called, Catch and Kill?
Yeah, it's Ronan Farrow.
Okay.
Ronan Farrow, the Catch and Kill podcast, but it's based on the book that he wrote about all this. But he was the one that pushed the story. Jeez. It is fascinating.
I watched all the interviews with his ex-PAs and stuff like that, and the kind of guy that he was, just like, he was just fucking brutal, relentless, animal-like. Like, he was just treat people like shit. He was so aggressive. And I'd heard stories of him through, actually, when I was more involved in the film industry in Ireland, of guys going over to Toronto, and, you know, a film goes really well, and so... you know, they see the premiere, everybody loves it, so everyone's kind of chasing the director to kind of go, we want to buy your film, we want to buy your film. And Harvey was basically, get the fuck out of here. Everybody like screaming, get the fuck out of here, that's my film, fuck off. You know, everybody, do you know what I mean? He's just so aggressive to everybody. Do you know, you'd think it would be more of a networking, schmoozing. Harvey's, get the fuck out of my seat. Like, it was just...
But when you listen to Catch and Kill and see how they carried on with the NDAs and, you know, the way people...
Yeah, to sign
lived,
all this shit to
the
work
way
for
people
him
lived
that.
In fear then afterwards, destroyed their lives. And like, I mean, obviously the rape stuff is like horrific in that it's very easy to comprehend the horror of rape. But I think it's harder to comprehend how you take a gig in the Weinstein company, right? You're just a young, ambitious woman. You're doing your job, doing a good job. And then he pulls one of his, like, come to my hotel room. You get out of it. You don't get assaulted. You get, I guess, what would you call it? You get harassed.
Mm.
You don't get assaulted. You get out of it. You try to deal with it. He hits you with a fucking NDA, and your career is over.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
All for saying no to Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah. Mm.
And your career is essentially over for forever, really. I mean, some of them manage to keep going to a degree, but for most of them, it's the end of their career.
That's fucked. Yeah, it's so fucked, yeah.
So I thought he was horrible anyway. I thought he was horrible just on the fucking how horrific he is and how he could even pretend to think that, you know, this shit was.
But this goes on everywhere, yeah. This shit, you know?
That's the thing, yeah. It's not
like
just,
he's not like the only person.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, he is the one that broke it all, though, really, in terms of.
He totally took the piss with it, yeah.
Like, no, but eventually. No. But his the outing of him has been a cultural turning point.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the start of the Me Too movement.
And the fact that he got a proper sentence for that is large, because a lot of people, whether it's warranted or not, you know, the stories come and then they go.
Mm.
And actually, there's not a lot of punishment. As you know, there's not a lot of punishment for sexual crimes.
No, most women don't report.
Yeah, so this is big.
This is so significant. Mm. It's so
very
significant. Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, Lauer, you know, there's other people, like Farrow talks about it in terms of these big people. But, I mean, you can't do everything, but this is pretty significant.
Mm. It's really significant, but I really just hope that it does, you know, pervade down and just goes everywhere now, that this is like the message that people are getting, that like behaving like that in any industry is absolutely unacceptable, you know?
Well, I mean,
people need to be held accountable for.
Yeah, I mean, people must have seen a change. Our industry, it's hard to tell in our industry because I don't see that many people a lot of the time, but I got to think that there's people have felt a difference.
Mm,
I don't know. I mean, like,
you'd be able to tell more.
Me too is not nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
You know, it's not nothing that's gone down. So there must be some change. I don't know how to quantify it.
Yeah, I wouldn't either, because like I literally came into the industry when all this was. Well, not. I was only in the industry a year and a half too when it all started kicking off. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like.
But this is what's difficult as well, is because if somebody does have bad experiences, they often do just leave the scene, right? You know, rather than because they just will not report. Like even just, let's say I'm not going to talk about Irish comedy, but just in general, like just in society, my friends and I, we've often had discussions about this and we just would not, like, you know, we just wouldn't report. So.
But would you not think that the amount of people that wouldn't report has decreased now? Like, I would think that people feel at least a little more confident.
A little, but I mean, that was why that Belfast rugby trial was such a significant thing and why people were so, you know, marching about that and all that, because it was that. I remember I was so engrossed in that the whole time, because it was like, whatever comes out of this is really huge, you know, for like our collective unconscious, like as a society. So. And then she wasn't fucking believed and they didn't get prosecuted. So it was like, oh, okay, there's no fucking point then.
Yeah, but that.
It was a real slap in the face, I felt, for women, like, or for, not for just women, but like for victims of sexual violence.
Yes. Well, the legal system has a problem.
Problem.
Which is clear. Mm. But it is a fucking, it is a conundrum, the legal system in relation to sexual crimes.
Yeah, and it's the legal system, it's social attitudes, it's all of our unconscious biases.
Yes, I know, but just to focus on the legal system just for a second. I mean, I often try to get my head around how to fix it. Very difficult.
Yeah.
It's very, very difficult because as gets talked about time and time again, it's more often than not a he said, she said.
Mm.
And what, like, obviously, in, you know, the law, the initial entry point is not that sympathetic to a victim, it seems, right? Mm-hmm. So from the get-go, it's not great to come forward as a victim.
No.
But it's also very difficult to prove. So I really feel like there should be an entirely separate legal system for sexual crimes.
Yeah.
Mm. But I do think that the one thing that's easy to fix is to change this tilt towards not believing victims. Because there seems to be a great concern of false accusations, which is fair enough, but it seems to be tilted very heavily in the fear of false accusations rather than the other way around.
Yeah. Which
should
is
be
remarkable,
50-50.
Isn't it? Yeah. It
should be 50-50, yeah. But the problem is with that side of it, it's like a couple of bad eggs spoil it for everybody kind of thing. Like there was a couple of cases in the States where some guy got kicked out of college, lost his scholarship, blah, 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 and it was a false accusation. Then that's just everybody else jumps on that bandwagon and that just
yeah,
but kills
that's,
it.
But I definitely think that seems to be too much of a lean towards the fear of a false example. But I do appreciate the conundrum of, you know, it's so hard to prove. It is so hard to prove.
Totally, yeah. And I think it's so hard to prove, and the legal system is the way it is, that really, like, a lot of work needs to go into, like, prevention, you know, so much.
Well, number one, prevention, fucking cut down on the booze. And that's not just saying victims shouldn't have been drunk. What I'm saying is that booze creates environment for sexual assault. You're more inclined to assault, and you're more inclined to be assaulted. Both sides. I'm not suggesting that
you're more inclined
victim
not
has
to
made
make good decisions. Basically, yeah.
Booze
not going to have a clear head.
You talk to the Rape Crisis Center. Always puts it out. Booze is a huge factor in sexual assault.
Yeah.
You know, it's so dangerous, actually, especially in young people. You know.
So I shouldn't go for that really expensive bottle of champagne in Tesco.
No.
In my loose
be around looters.
Yeah. Okay, I might need to rethink that. Maybe just Prosecco.
What's that?
No, maybe just Prosecco, not champagne.
But you know, I think to finish on, I guess, a somewhat positive note, you'd have to say that there's been some progress in the last 3 years.
Oh, yeah. That's there could only be progress, really. Yeah,
I know. Yes. There has definitely been progress.
There's been some, yeah. 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 Know, so hopefully it keeps going and there isn't a kickback to that, you know?
So, Eve, what's your social media stuff?
Oh, my Insta is at EveDarcy1. That's my Twitter as well, but I'm very inactive on Twitter. I can't be fucked. I'm not into the hashtags. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
EveDarcy1?
At EveDarcy1, yeah, is on Insta.
Insta. And then what's the pod?
Humans Discuss Being.
Humans Discuss Being, wherever you get your podcast. Yep. Are you doing it on the regular every week?
Every week.
That's
it. Started, you know what? It started last year when I was doing, I did this thing for Dermot and Dave where I was
that's right.
The
I forgot about
dater.
That.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's how it started.
Well, I was just doing this like radio segment and I was like, oh, well, I have an idea for a podcast, so I'm just going to throw this out now while I'm on the radio. So that was the idea.
And that's how it started.
Yeah, yeah. I just was like capitalizing on being on the radio, I guess. You know, like that was the thing.
Well, check that out. Humans Discuss Being.
Yeah.
Just had a live one there, didn't you, recently?
Oh, two live ones. Tara Flynn.
Really?
Yeah, Tara Flynn was one guest and Growth Farley was the other guest. They were great. That was in Smock Alley.
Smock Alley, yeah.
Yeah.
You got a good crowd?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, yeah. They were, yeah, it was good. Yeah, it was fun.
Do you do a Patreon?
I do not yet.
Yet.
What's the story with Patreon? Do they own the content? Or
no.
No, okay. All right, I will start one tomorrow.
Make money. I mean, if you're getting a crowd, you might make money off Patreon.
Yeah.
I would love to.
All right, well,
do
thank
the bonus
you very
content.
Much.
Thank you.
I hope you this didn't get too hot.
Loads of fun. No. Is this a worry you always have when women are around you, Jess?
No, let's talk about the fire.
I know.
It's getting hot now.
You're just like, I hope you didn't get too hot.
We've been on camera,
around.
Eve.
All right, well, thanks very much, guys. It's trying to keep the vibes positive, you know? We'll have a new episode of The Shift up on Monday night into Tuesday morning. We'll be back with the Des Bishop podcast next week for Friday morning and maybe some bonus episodes in between. I'm on TikTok, DesBishop5, Instagram at Des Bishop. Stephen Mullen is at Hello Stevo. Eve just gave you her Instagram. Check her out. Make sure to give her some good feedback. I'm going to have her back on the pod. She's good. I like Eve. Eve is great for keeping the conversation going. So we'll be seeing Eve again, hearing Eve again. Look out for the clips online. We're going to put some clips up. We were filming. And that's it. Stay tuned for rescheduled gigs. Make sure to give us 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe. Leave a comment. I haven't had a comment for a while. Come on, guys. Put up some comments. Show us some love. See you next week.
Hi.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.